do the other consent?
Let's do the other consent item that we pulled off, if we can, which is 443.
Authorize application to the Department of Homeland Security Urban Areas Initiative Grant Program for a grant in the amount of $3 million to enhance emergency preparedness through planning, training, and equipping of emergency responders.
Commissioner Novick.
Colleagues, Denise Barrett from the Regional Disaster Preparedness Organization is here today to address this item.
Good morning, Mr. Mayor, Commissioners. My name is Denise Barrett. I am the Senior Program Manager for the Portland Bureau of Emergency Management, as well as the manager of the Regional Disaster Preparedness Organization, for which the city is one of the partners on an intergovernmental agreement with the five counties and other jurisdictions around the region. For 12 of the last 13 years, the Department of Homeland Security has awarded the Portland Urban Area Grant under the Urban Areas Security Initiatives Grant Program. The City of Portland is a subrecipient of the grant and partners with Clackamas, Columbia, Multnomah, Washington counties in Oregon, as well as Clark County across the border in Washington State, as well as TriMet, Metro, Port of Portland, several other cities around the region, as well as the private sector and NGOs. And through the RDPO organization, we strategically plan and spend the funds. The Portland Bureau of Emergency Management is the administrator of the grant. The grant program, as was indicated earlier, funds the unique equipment, training, planning, exercise, and operational needs of metropolitan regions like our own to prevent and mitigate acts of terrorism, as well as to respond to, mitigate, and recover from a range of natural disasters, such as what we may face in terms of Cascadia earthquake or Portland Hills earthquake or other earthquakes, floods, landslides, and other disasters. We prepare first responders from more than 12 disciplines, including law enforcement, fire, public works, emergency management, as well as community volunteers and the wider public, to prepare for disasters. Because disasters typically impact multiple jurisdictions and we have many interconnections and interdependencies across the region, including our infrastructure, roads, bridges, et cetera, and other things, including a shared media market, the UWASI Fund helps initiatives break down jurisdictional, agency, and discipline silos to support integrated regional approaches. With nearly $75 million in UWASI funding since 2003, the Portland urban area has supported the development of a range of specialty teams, such as our hazardous materials response teams associated with Portland Fire, Tualatin Valley Fire, and other fire agencies around the region, the Metropolitan Explosives Disposal Unit, the Metropolitan Air Support Unit, and other teams that work towards response in disasters and other emergencies. More than $13 million of those funds have had a direct impact on the city of Portland and her people. But since our goal is really regional assets and outcomes, all of the funds over the years have had an impact in one way or other to the city and its people. UWASI-funded capabilities were deployed in response to the Clackamas Town Center Mall shooting in 2010, the Reynolds shooting in 2013, and supported the apprehension of, you may know, the Green Laser Bandit, who was attempting to cause an air disaster in the region using a laser pointed up at aircraft and trying to blind pilots. UWASI assets are used every day because of our 911 centers and all of the response that's done around the region with our fire and law enforcement. And you may also know about the regional GIN, which is the Joint Information System, which our law enforcement has just started to use as its new way of sharing information around the region and actually beyond. The focus of the ordinance before you today, the Portland urban area has been awarded a $3 million grant under UWASI 2015, which the City of Portland now has an opportunity to secure through the submission of an application through the Oregon Office of Emergency Management by May 9th, 2015. They never give us much time. It was announced on April 2nd. The RDPO Steering Committee, which is our executive level, in which, for example, Director Merlo sits on, operates under an intergovernmental agreement and consists of agency executives that represent the five counties, the City of Portland, several other cities and special districts. We've developed with them and in cooperation with jurisdictions around the region a draft application that consists of 25 projects under 6 investment areas. With the funds, the $3 million in question, regional partners will focus on building and or sustaining 13 core capabilities that we've been working on, including our plans, our operational coordination for response and for making critical decisions, operational communication, community preparedness, intelligence and information sharing, and a few others. So thank you very much for your support.
Any questions?
I have a question. Sure. Obviously, most of this is really great needed emergency preparedness. My understanding from Commissioner Novick's staff is that the current grant application includes a federal requirement for a surveillance-related position, an intelligence analysis, terrorism prevention position at the Oregon Fusion Center. Is that correct?
Yes, we do have to, by federal requirements, support the Oregon Titan Fusion Center.
And have we allocated funds to this position since we started applying for this money in 2003?
Yes, every year, but I believe 2012, and then we did not receive, the region did not receive a grant in 2013, so we skipped 2 years. But on our current grant cycle, which is being implemented as we speak, we did fund that position.
And how do we know that that person assigned who fills that position operates in compliance with our expectations under the Joint Terrorism Task Force discussion?
In fact, there's a board of directors, and the RDPO's law enforcement work group chair is the chair of that particular board. Also, the RDPO steering committee, again, which Portland sits on, is the direct oversight of the grant implementation. So, for example, we vetted the scope of work for the analyst. We review the products that the analyst and the Titan Fusion Center produces, and we feel like we have a very good relationship with the Oregon Department of Justice as well, which is the agency that the Titan Fusion, where the Titan Fusion Center sits.
Is that person in that position required to meet with our city attorney, like our police officers assigned to the JTTF are?
Not at the moment, but we could entertain that if you'd feel more comfortable with that.
Thank you.
Sure. Thank you too. Okay.
Other questions or guidance? Thanks very much.
Thank you very much.
Anyone
have a good
want
day.
To speak on this item?
We do.
Good morning. Welcome.
Thank you. My name is Linda Olson Osterlund, and I'm a reporter with KBOO Community Radio. I'm here as a resident, but my background for being here is because I was a reporter. I've had the opportunity as a reporter to both interview and visit, so interview staff related to the fusion centers and tour both fusion centers that Oregon has. I've never heard them spoken of publicly before. Here today, locating the second one, the Urban Area Fusion Center for Portland, this region was difficult for me as I kept meeting roadblocks, but eventually they did acknowledge that there was one. At first they denied there was one. Then they acknowledged there was one and had been there since 2009. It's located on the Clackamas County Community College campus in Wilsonville. In visiting those locations and in interviewing those people, I became concerned about civil liberties and the role that the Fusion Center plays because law enforcement representatives from all levels, including park rangers, tribal law enforcement, any kind of law enforcement you can think of, all the way up to Northcomp, participate in these centers. And a Portland Police Bureau person was, in fact, according to Darren Tweet, who is Oregon DOJ person responsible for the Fusion Center, has been on it since the beginning. So this fusion. So what I want to bring up is that's a little background, and I gave you handouts that come from Homeland Security and one from ACLU about what's wrong with fusion centers. It's a really old thing from them, but you can certainly get a flavor for it. I've given those to you so you have some background information on what these fusion centers are, but I want to bring up a more important thing, which is that it was discovered by the Partnership for Civil Justice Fund, a civil rights organization in New York, that FOIA requests, that Homeland Security and most of the states participated together and coordinated their response to the crackdown on Occupy. So by looking at redacted emails, which I have and anybody can, they archive them on their website, you can see the Portland Fusion Center named and then much blacked out, but it becomes apparent that there was a lot of time and effort put into spying on, surveilling, and communicating nationally about citizens engaged in their constitutionally protected activities. So I understand the need for emergency management and emergency management funds, but I also know that the Salem Titan Center helped train first responders in looking for terrorists when they're out there first responding. I have a lot of concern when anybody's name is suspected, and the bar for how you would enter someone into the fusion center is much lower than even reasonable thought. You know, it's do you suspect they might someday be planning to be involved in something? It's very vague. That when an Oregonian's name is put into the fusion center, it cannot be removed. We cannot meet the ORS that says that it should be purged. It can't be collected and held for 2 years because it goes into the national centers, and they refuse to purge any of those. They refuse in court to purge any of their databases. And so every time an Oregon fireman or an Oregon first responder of any sort or law enforcement puts a name in there as something they're suspicious about, it automatically becomes permanent.
So I really appreciate you bringing all this to our attention, but you've used your time.
Well, that's it. So okay. I don't see, and I'm concerned about what the training will be. I hadn't realized there was the line item that forced you guys to help fund the Fusion Center, but you're funding a center that's operating under our own DOJ out of compliance with our own state laws. It needs to be thought about and talked about, and we need to know what our funding is going for. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Morning.
Good morning, Mayor and Council members. My name is Stephen Entwistle from Portland, Oregon. I am a member of Individuals for Justice. Also, I am the founder of the Healing Man Sanctuaries. My concern with this proclamation or money distribution is that community preparedness. Okay, now, what is in the details of community preparedness? Now, Naomi Klein has a book called Disaster Capitalism, and my concern is with all this and the history that has presented itself up to this point in these areas has me very concerned that community preparedness will turn into community takeover. How do we safeguard and prevent this military takeover of our communities in the event of a disaster? I believe that we should make our communities prepared now as communities, not as directed by disaster capitalism, okay? I have a real problem with that, as well as a lot of other folks do. What is the safeguard from that happening? That's all. Thanks.
Thank you. Okay, anyone else? So this is an emergency ordinance. Unless there's any objection, we should go ahead and move to a roll call vote.
Fish?
Well, Mayor, before we go to a vote, since we've had some testimony, I would welcome any comments from the commissioner in charge. It seems to me, in reading the description of this item, it looks like on an annual basis for some time we've received this grant money. And so, and it looks like it helps us strengthen our coordination with other partners to do emergency preparedness. Do you have any concerns in response to the testimony you heard about how those dollars are being used? And I also understand this is just authorizing a grant, so we're not actually...
Application.
It's an application, so we're not actually talking about how we will administer the grant.
I don't have any concerns, but as Denise Barrett said, I don't think there'd be any problem with our arranging to have the kind of periodic conversation between the city attorney and the one person we fund in the Fusion Center, as Commissioner Fritz suggested.
Thank you.
Okay.
And as a further discussion, it's new information to me that our first responders are asked to report suspected terrorists. So I think we need to broaden our training in the fire department, and in obviously the police department is well trained, but I don't know how much the other first responders get training on Oregon law regarding surveillance, so that might need to be a component. Perhaps we could use the grant for that, or some portion of the grant for that. Thank you.
Okay, then let's take a roll call vote, and there may be other comments as well, please.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Novick?
Thank you very much, Denise. Aye.
Fritz?
I appreciate the citizen bringing the concern to me a while ago and her diligence in observing this grant application. Also, Commissioner Novick and your staff with getting us more information. I appreciate Ms. Barrett's information. And obviously, the vast majority of this money is going to be doing things that we desperately need funding for. That this one piece, it's interesting that it's a requirement of the federal government to do that surveillance piece. So I think we need to put some Portland safeguards on it as we accept the grant, which hopefully we'll get again. Thanks to Carmen Merlo and her staff for working on it again. Aye.
Hales.
Yeah, first of all, this is a modest success story that we're even applying for this, and that our federal lobbying program worked really hard to keep Portland even eligible to apply for these disaster preparedness grants, because they kept moving the floor for how big of a city you had to be in order to get this money higher and higher and higher. So I want to commend that work, because we wouldn't have even been in the game of asking for these federal grants if it hadn't been for that success with our congressional delegation. So thank you to Martha Pellegrino and her team for getting us into the game. I really appreciate these very legitimate concerns being raised here and echoed by members of the council. It's really important that in everything we do, including this, that we make sure that our values and our Portland sideboards, I think, is a good description of what we will accept or not accept in terms of our employees interfacing with federal agencies. We need to be very clear about that and consistent about that, whether it's the Joint Terrorism Task Force or this or anything else. So I appreciate you bringing that up. And if we are indeed given the opportunity to receive these funds and we get a grant agreement from the federal government that requires us to do some things that concern us, we should check out those things before we take the money and sign the grant agreement. So there's still time to do the diligence or the vigilance that you've asked for, and we certainly need to do that. But for now, we should file the grant application, see if they smile on it and are prepared to award us funds. Then we've got to make sure that we spend them on things that we believe in. Thank you. Aye.